Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Well, we've entered the holiday season. I hope your holidays are filled with joy, laughter, and fun, or whatever you need in order to grow. Now, why do I say whatever you need to grow? Because I believe that everything that happens in our lives is actually in our favor, even when it appears not to be. So if your holidays are not filled with joy, laughter, and fun, but instead with disagreements and arguments, know that those energies are around you because you are ready to change them, if you choose. And once you do change those energies around you, you will be much more lighthearted. And this brings me to our spiritual inspiration segment we're going to be doing today, which is going to highlight the importance of being lighthearted. Something we all need a bit more of. I know I do. I've been working on it. I will share a wonderful story I found online about how important it is to be lighthearted, especially for those around you. And our spiritual homework segment is going to highlight what you need to do in order to become lighthearted. But first, we are going to be speaking with Scott Grace. Scott has been a highly sought-after singer, speaker, workshop leader, life coach, and a stand-up comedian who actually opened for such legends as Robin Williams and Dana Carvey. He also became the opening act for many celebrities, including Deepak Chopra, Louise Hay, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Jack Canfield, and Wally Famous Amos, and many, many, many more. He became the star of the spiritual Dr. Seuss, combining entertainment, wisdom, and comedy. And he's become the headliner at New Thought churches around the world. He is the author of the new book, Mindful Masculinity, a book for men and the women who love them. Scott actually has said that he's made every mistake in this book when it comes to being a man. After all, his first role model was Tarzan. We will obviously ask about that reference. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm delighted. I really enjoyed your book, but I'm going to start with the first question I ask everybody. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and as a young man, I dreamed of becoming a firefighter, a doctor, an ice cream salesman. Every 6 months or so, my dreams have changed. And then I got into spirituality, and I realized this is something I want to both learn and teach. I had a natural innate ability to communicate.
I get that, but you do a bunch of different things. You just mentioned that you changed your ideas one by one. You wanted to be an ice cream salesman. You wanted to be a doctor. Well, you've been a comedian. You've been a singer. The whole nine yards, but we're going to get to that in a second. Tell me a little bit about your parents and what you learned from each one of them.
I would like to answer that question in rhyme.
All righty.
I have a little bio that I wrote, it's just playing in rhyme, and it starts. I was born at a young age in 1963, survived the streets of Brooklyn and my noisy family. My parents thought God was a scam, religion was for saps. For me, that meant no Hebrew school, and I thank God for that. No Hanukkah, no Christmas trees, no holy holidays. When we gathered for a meal, we bowed and said, "Ai vei." My parents taught me logic. I learned hard science and new math. I had some signs of ADD and couldn't sit still in class. I took 2 years of college and then called it graduation. You could say I left to get a higher education. Even though I hated Christian terminology, my parents were beside themselves. Oh, where did we go wrong? Our son has got religion. Well, at least he's not reborn. And it goes on, but I'll stop there.
I think that's pretty good. At least you're not reborn. So your parents did not teach you religion or spirituality. Now, wasn't there some issue you had with your father?
I had issues with both my mother and my father. Oh, absolutely. Where would you like me to start? And
well, just tell us a little bit about the issue. We want to know about your background before we hit your book, Scott.
Sure, yeah. So my father wanted me to follow in his footsteps, and he was a doctor. And when I started to become disillusioned with traditional schooling and started to explore spirituality, he took it personally, and he distanced himself, and I felt hurt and angry. And for a couple of decades, we were not close. And eventually I reached out to him, and he responded he cried. You know, I wrote him a letter.
You touched his heart.
What's that?
You touched his heart.
I touched his heart. We buried our grievances, and in his old age, we were the best of friends.
That's fantastic. Well, we all have issues with our family. We pick our families to learn from them, and some of us learn a lot, and some of us learn very little. Now, you talked about your first role model was Tarzan. So you watched Tarzan movies as a little boy?
I did. And the reason I brought that up in the book is because Tarzan had a very, like, black and white way of looking at the world. You know, food good, soil bad, you know, like, and so I mentioned that because a lot of us have been trained in black and white thinking.
Mm-hmm.
One of the earlier chapters in the book is about that, and I use Tarzan as a reference point to show us how trained we are in that good, bad, right, wrong, simple
black
and white way of categorizing ourselves and the world.
So you started looking into spirituality when you were still living at home.
Yes.
When did you decide to become a comedian?
Well, humor was always in my life. I was always using it to get attention in school, to seduce women, all kinds of reasons. And as I grew emotionally, I started to notice that my humor was changing. It didn't have an agenda. It had more of just like lightening people up, just lightening myself up, seeing the funny side of life. And stand-up comedy was one of the scariest things for me to think of. I had been writing comedy and funny songs for years. And when I lived in Marin, I just decided, hey, you know, my life is about facing fear, and I have a feeling I'm going to enjoy this after a lot of shaking and being terrified. And it was true. I got to meet Robin Williams.
Well, you opened for him. I think you obviously were quite funny, Scott.
Yeah.
And for Dana Carvey as well.
Yes. Dana now is still on Saturday Night Live playing Joe Biden.
Yeah, I saw that recently. So you were a comedian, and then what made you start to write songs? Obviously, you're a very creative human being. What made you start to write songs?
I wrote my first song in fifth grade. I've always been a songwriter. I don't know. It's just a natural, innate tendency to want to express both my pain, my pleasure, my learning, and my longing through song.
So between being a comedian, a songwriter, and were these your first jobs that you held?
My first jobs were menial, you know, flipping hamburgers, selling frozen lemonade in New York City. And then I became a street peddler, an unlicensed laundry bag peddler, selling laundry bags on the streets of New York.
I may have bought one from you. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you did all of that, and then you sort of moved a little bit more into your spirituality. And what drove you to write a book about masculinity? What pushed you to do that?
Well, I had no intention of writing a book about masculinity. I had a friend who actually published the book, who read my other book and said, Scott, you have a way of expressing yourself that makes it really safe for people to look at themselves and go deep inside. I want you to write some essays for men on masculinity and the challenges men face these days. Well, I wrote a couple of essays, and it started flowing, and then I realized that there was a book in me about this. So I just kept writing for about a year.
Well, why do you think there was a book inside of you about masculinity? Is it something you struggled with throughout the years?
Yeah. I have had that very strong self-doubt about myself as a man. From early on, when I reached puberty late, and all my friends were getting into girls, and I thought, God, maybe I'm gay. And there was all, and of course, there was, that would not be a problem nowadays. But back then, I was just so insecure, especially about being not good enough as a man.
Mm-hmm. That was, I think everybody like has my, that, though.
It was like a mantra. You know, I just kept collecting evidence that I wasn't doing this manhood thing right. And
well, don't you think, like you said, most men were being like Tarzan? Very masculinity is about being powerful over somebody?
Yes, I had the cultural mythology about macho, and you know, it's all about the biceps and going to war, and you know, all of these things that were culturally considered manhood, I sucked at. But eventually I came around to realizing that I had gifts. I had gifts as a man that many men haven't developed, and I had a lot to say about it.
Well, that's why you wrote your book. You had a lot of things. My dad, who was older than you, obviously, he was in World War II. He was sort of an interesting man. He played golf. He was not big on like his biceps or anything like that. But what was interesting about my dad is he was raised as an orphan in an orphanage. He had no problem washing clothes, cleaning the house if mom had to run errands. He had no problems doing that, and he was very empathetic with people. And I think what I got from your book is that you are highlighting the ability to have empathy for other people and not just have power over people. That's one of the things I got from your book. All right, so you wrote the book because somebody told you to write some essays on masculinity, and you realize there's a book inside of you. So in the book you say there's the old mentality, girls are girls and boys should be boys. And that's over with. Explain a little bit about that.
Sure. So we have a left and a right side of our brain. And we access our intellect and effort on the left side. And on the right side is intuition, receptivity, nurturing. These are qualities that have been traditionally known as feminine, whereas the left brain qualities have been called masculine. And, you know, Chinese medicine, yin, yang. We've come to a time in history where if men don't develop the right side of their brain and just stick with the left side, which is cut off from their heart, that our world will not, you know, will not last much longer, because we are destroying our civilization and our planet by being too left-brained, by not understanding and developing the intuition, the heart, communication skills.
Well, see, I think we're not destroying it. There's people like you who are writing books. There are men who are growing and evolving. Women are growing and evolving.
Oh.
It may feel like it's being destroyed, but I think we're actually moving towards the light. That's my opinion.
I agree. I just like to be dramatic sometimes.
No, I know. I do, too. I used to
but
be an actor,
what?
So I like to be dramatic, too. But, all right, you
it's
say...
It's the best of times and the worst of times is
exactly right.
Depending
exactly
on what
right.
you're looking at, where you're looking.
Well, let me ask you, you talk about the chronic critic syndrome. I call it in my book, the inner negative voice. How do men respond to this chronic critic syndrome that's inside of them? How do they respond to it just to begin with?
Sure. Well, men get the message early on that their worth is based on their achievements and their hard work and fixing things. And so the inner critic is born from that belief that we're worthless until we accomplish whatever society or our parents expected from us. And if we're not measuring up, and we usually secretly in our mind, no matter how much of a success we look like to the world, most men don't feel like they're measuring up to their standards or whoever's standards got inside their brain. And then there's the belief that, hey, if I criticize myself, then I'll get better. If I feel guilty, if I punish myself, I'll get motivated and I'll achieve more. And it's just that used to work for some people. You know, in the days of the Puritans, it was a strategy. It was the only strategy in town. Now we need a different strategy.
Yes. And women don't do it the same way men do. You were saying, I'll beat myself up so I'll get better. Women don't do it that way, but we beat ourselves up, we go down that dark tunnel. But, all right, you talked about men need to develop their feminine side, which we've already discussed a little bit about. But let me ask you this. In the book, you brought up some tips for developing discipline. We're going to talk about this in a moment. You mentioned whistle while you work, promise yourself a reward for following through, discover your mission, don't neglect your R&R, feed the momentum, and encourage and appreciate yourself constantly. Which one of these was the hardest for you to learn?
The latter, the last one.
Encourage and appreciate
myself constantly. Absolutely.
Well, you do that now, though. You do appreciate yourself, right?
I do.
Good.
For getting out of bed in the morning. For breathing. Yeah, I've undone that critical voice. And part of it is just replacing it and getting addicted to self-appreciation and encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I used to be addicted to guilt and criticism.
Well, let me ask you, we're going to go back just for a moment. We've got about 2 minutes to go. What drew you to spirituality when you were a kid? Was there something that happened, something that caught your eye, a book that dropped off the shelf?
Yeah. My high school music teacher recommended a book called The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment. And I found it just fascinating. Also, psychedelics were a big part of me realizing, hey, there's so much going on that's not talked about. I had some great teachers in high school that really pointed me in the right direction.
Well, I always say the teacher will appear when you're ready, and obviously you were ready in high school. So I'm glad you moved into spirituality and kept your comedian and your songwriting going. Let me ask you this. We're going to go back to the Dr. Seuss. Tell me a little bit about the Dr. Spiritual Seuss. Spiritual Dr. Seuss.
When my daughter was 2 years old, I read her a Dr. Seuss bedtime story, tucked her in, and then I just couldn't get the good doctor out of my head. I went to my computer and started, in a sense, channeling this stream of consciousness in rhyme that turned out to be both funny and educational and inspirational, as if Dr. Seuss became a spiritual teacher.
Oh,
so there's six transmissions and a book. The book is called Oh, the Places Your Ego Will Go.
Believe me, I know exactly where my ego will go. It will go all over the place. Oh, my word. In fact, I had a week last week. It took me to a place that I needed to go because I learned something. But anyway, we are talking with Scott Grace, the author of Mindful Masculinity, a book for men and the women who love them. When he comes back, I'm going to ask him a little bit about Jimi Hendrix quote. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. We are speaking with delightful Scott Grace, the author of Mindful Masculinity, a book for men and the women who love them. You mentioned a Jimi Hendrix quote. I don't know if he actually made that quote or not, but I love the quote. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Now, how does that relate to mindful masculinity?
Because when men have not learned to let love in, to give love, to be vulnerable, when they have lost the connection to love, the next best thing, the best substitute that gives a little meaning to life is power. Power over others, dominance. You know, men are learning to open their hearts, and when they are stuck, they want to build big towers and conquer other countries and have the most money. You know, that kind of power is a sad cry for love from someone who feels so stuck and blocked that this is the best they can do.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, you mentioned in your book that masculinity used to figure on manly having certain muscles and organs that were hard, and they could feel masculine if they were harder on, if they were really hard with their muscles, and they could be hard on their wives and their children. I think that comes from that sense of needing power to feel something since they could not feel love. Do you agree with that?
Totally. Totally. If you can peel the layers of the onion, that need to be hard, underneath that is a lot of fear and insecurity and self-doubt.
I'm so blessed that I had my dad as a father. I'm so glad he was an orphan and didn't learn any of the masculinity traits. But, I think men need to learn that they should not have power over their wives or their children. Everyone's a partner in a family, as far as I'm concerned. But, alright, so we are talking with Scott, who just wrote the book, the author of Mindful Masculinity. You state that real men don't deny their fear. Well, how is that helpful, becoming mindful in masculinity, not to deny their fear?
To not deny your fear. Well, masculinity gets strengthened by exercising courage. And in a world where men are taught that it's not okay to admit their fears to themselves and other people, it takes courage. It takes courage to even just feel it. For most men, and then to say, hey, I'm feeling afraid. How often do you hear that from a man?
Yeah,
not
very often.
And courage enhances your masculinity. So,
well, explain that a little bit. Courage enhances your masculinity.
Okay, so leaving your comfort zone. Male energy goes on adventures. It likes to move past boundaries. You know, it's the masculine side of humanity that said, let's go to the moon and let's
adventure.
Yeah. You know? All of that energy is leaving your comfort zone, going where no one has gone before. That's masculine energy. And since vulnerability and mindfulness, self-awareness, and being able to feel your feelings and admit them is pioneering territory for most men and takes courage to go there, it's like the next moonwalk, well, then it enhances our masculinity. It enhances our masculinity to cry for most men. Some men have that down. They've got that skill.
Okay. Well, you know, I really did enjoy your book immensely. I think every man, and hopefully every woman, but every man should read your book. It has a lot of good tips. It has a lot of explanations. It gives permission, which I think is important. Males sometimes need permission. And you also say that male ego structure gravitate between two things. I'm better than others, or I suck big time. You feel like that's still true for many men? That I'm better than others,
yes.
Or I suck big time.
And, you know, that's not just the male ego. That's the ego of humanity, is I am separate from others. I am different than others. And it's either unworthiness, you know. I compare myself to others and I don't measure up. Or it's I'm better. And either one, both of those make you feel very lonely because you're artificially separating yourself from your species, humanity, and each person. And relationships don't go very well when you either have to be one up or one down.
Well, you're lacking in self-love if you're stuck in that judgment that somebody's either better than or worse than. I would do a whole chapter in my book about that, and I think it's an easy way to be in judgment and not to look inward and say, why don't I love myself? But I think you do love yourself, Scott. It's very clear that you do love yourself, which is fantastic. We've got about 2 minutes. What do you hope people, men especially, let's start with men, what do you hope men get from your book?
Inspiration, encouragement, entertainment, and more willingness to try new things, to go boldly where they haven't gone before, especially in relationships, especially with self-awareness and honesty. I want the book to be like jumper cables for men who haven't gone deep inside themselves. I want it to sell mindfully. I want it to make mindfulness sexy to men. I want them to finish the book and go, I want to do this. This sounds exciting. This is the greatest adventure of all.
I'm a woman, but I think they will. But I'm a woman, so I can't say that. But I think they will. You wrote it quite beautifully. It's very open. It gets to the point. What do you hope women get? We've got 1 minute. What do you hope women get from the book?
Understanding and compassion for men. And very similarly, the increasing willingness to be honest with themselves, patient with their men, and know what the masculinity wound is and what they can do to support their men.
That's beautifully said, Scott. We have been speaking with Scott Grace, the author of Mindful Masculinity, a book for women, for men and the women who love them. Where can they follow you, Scott, and get your book?
Well, my website is scottsongs.com, S-C-O-T-T-S-O-N-G-S. They can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and the book is on Amazon.
Well, everyone should get this book and give it to every man you know. It's a wonderful book. Thank you so much, Scott.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This month's inspiration is lightheartedness. In the dictionary, lightheartedness is described as a cheerful, happy, hopeful, prepared to enjoy life. Now, I think we all need more of that, which is why it's this month's inspiration. Here's a short story that highlights the necessity of being lighthearted, especially in today's hectic world. I experienced something similar when I lived in New York City, but it was on the subway, not a bus. Some years ago, I was stuck on a crosstown bus in New York City during rush hour, period. Traffic was barely moving. The bus was filled with cold, tired people who were deeply irritated with one another and with the world itself. Two men barked at each other about a shove that might or might not have been intentional. A pregnant woman got on, and nobody offered her a seat. Rage was in the air. No mercy would be found here. But as the bus approached 7th Avenue, the driver got on the intercom. "Folks," he said, "I know you've had a rough day, and you were frustrated. I can't do anything about the weather or the traffic, but here's what I can do. As each one of you gets off the bus, I will reach out my hand to you. As you walk by, drop your troubles into the palm of my hand. Okay? Don't take your problems home to your families tonight. Just leave them with me. My route goes right by the Hudson River, and when I drive by there later, I'll open the window and throw your troubles in the water." It was as if a spell had been lifted. Everyone burst out laughing. Faces gleamed with surprised delight. People who had been pretending for the past hour not to notice each other's existence were suddenly grinning at each other. Like, is this guy serious? Oh, he was serious. At the next stop, just as he promised, the driver reached out his hand palm up and waited. One by one, all the exiting commuters placed their hands just above his and made the gesture of dropping something into his palm. Some people laughed as they did this. Some teared up. But everyone did it. The driver repeated the same levee ritual at the next stop, too. And the next period, all the way to the river. We live in a hard world, my friends. Sometimes it's extremely difficult being human. Sometimes you have a crappy day. Sometimes your crappy day lasts for several years. You struggle and fail. You lose jobs, money, friends, faith, and love. You probably witness events unfolding in the news, and you become fearful and withdrawn. You long for the light, but you don't know where to find it. It takes a lighthearted person to show you that light, just as the bus driver did. He could have kept his focus on the road and not allowed the people behind him to bother him. However, he didn't do that. He knew the troubles behind him. He knew the worries, concerns, and irritability rising on his bus. He allowed his lightheartedness to be shared with the frustrated passengers. And by doing this, he lifted each one of them out of their funk. Lightheartedness is a gift that we all have inside of us, but many have forgotten. Lightheartedness may not come easy for some people. However, that does not mean they don't have the ability to become lighthearted. It just takes practice. I love this story so much. I chose this inspiration because it's something that I wanted to include in my life. Now, I understand the phrase, it's about our state of being, not our circumstances, that creates our life. But how often do our circumstances take our state of being into a dark tunnel? I can honestly say that's happened to me more times than I actually care to admit. I usually get out of the dark tunnel, but with much effort. What if I was like the bus driver and was able to throw my negative thoughts and my negative feelings into the river and lighten up and actually enjoy my life, no matter the circumstances? Would my life be better? Damn, yes, it would be better. Now, I've done this in the past, but as I get older and with more life lived, it has become a bit of a struggle. And that is why lightheartedness is this month's inspiration. We need to learn to enjoy our lives and not to be stuck in the circumstances that come and go in our lives. We need to remember that everything changes, even the crappy circumstances that may be in your life right now. And I'll share one of those in my next segment. To be lighthearted, to be willing to laugh, and to find joy even in the darker times is a gift that we all have inside of us. We just need to reconnect to it once again. To not walk around the world angry and vengeful at others. to not walk around the world waiting for the rug to be pulled out from under you. To not walk around the world with your hands clenched, ready to fight back at whatever may appear in your life. To be lighthearted means to have faith in the loving universe. To know in your heart of hearts that you're not alone in this world. And that you truly have everything you need already inside of you for your journey. To know that circumstances that appear in your life are there for a reason. Not to punish you, but to help you learn something. And to step more into your empowerment and your magnificence. Lightheartedness means you know everything that happens in your life has a positive meaning, and to not let the circumstances take you down that long, dark tunnel. It takes time to become lighthearted and to move through this world cheerfully, hopefully, and ready to enjoy our lives. And as circumstances arise, remind yourself that even these circumstances will change eventually. And isn't it better to smile in the world rather than walking with a clenched fist? So if it takes a little practice to become lighthearted, that's okay. It's a good way to learn about yourself. If you find yourself frowning during the day, change that frown to a smile, and eventually your smile will be your natural state of being. I will do this when I'm driving and I feel a sense of rage beginning to rise up. I will force myself to slow down, to smile, and to enjoy the ride, no matter how long it may take me to get where I'm going. It will take some practice, but I'm determined to do it. And I know you, too, can add lightheartedness to your life wherever it is needed. So become cheerful, hopeful, enjoy your life. In other words, practice this month's inspiration and become lighthearted. You'll be grateful, and frankly, those people around you will also be very grateful. And that's why this month's inspiration is lightheartedness, something I think the world is shouting for. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hi, Hi, this is Dr. McClung on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This month's spiritual homework is to practice lightheartedness. So how do we practice lightheartedness? How do we become cheerful, hopeful, and ready to enjoy our lives? This is something I've been working on for the last few months. Because I still have a 19-and-a-half-year-old kitty, which blows my mind, I'm working 40 hours a week so that I can keep my home and not sell it, which is something that I think I want to do a little bit later. This 40 hours of working a week is, frankly, making me very stressed. I always thought of myself as being lighthearted, cheerful, hopeful, and ready for a good life ahead of me. But in truth, this job has taken some of that away from me. I do know that whatever appears in our lives is in our favor or on our side. So, if this is true, the job I have is teaching me something. What I've decided it is teaching me, at least for this moment, are the areas that I need to practice more patience. In other words, how to remain calm and relaxed. This job has shown me that I'm not very patient or calm or relaxed. In fact, last week, I was a raving lunatic. I did something incorrectly at work, so I had to work a couple of extra hours, which meant I worked 42 hours last week with no lunch breaks. This made me a crazy lady. By the time 5:30 arrived on Friday, I was not enjoying my life. I was not cheerful or hopeful. So again, if everything can teach us something in order to guide us towards our best outcome or our magnificence, then my crazy work showed me how much patience I was lacking. Now, in the past shows, I mentioned that when I switched my focus from self-love to power, patience was one of the first things I received in meditation that I needed to work on. I thought to myself, why do I need to work on patience in order to move into my power? Then I read the definition of patience: to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Okay, I did need to work on patience. And last week showed me just how much more work I have to do. Now, in my book, How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live, I wrote about patience this way. The very act of being patient reveals that you have faith in the process of waiting for what you want, because somewhere inside of you, you know you will get it, or something better. I had forgotten this truth, and lost faith that I would get what I wanted, or something better. So my job was teaching me where I needed to improve. So if patience is something that you lack in order to become lighthearted, you will need to make this a priority. I'm still doing this work. And last week showed me that delays and troubles do upset me. Still, so I'm still working on my patience and regaining my faith that good things are flowing into my life at the perfect moment. And hopefully, I will finish it this lifetime. But let's say you are patient, but perhaps you lack in hopefulness. Perhaps you've experienced a lot of hardship, and you don't look at the world through hopeful eyes, but instead through weary, doubting eyes. Now, I too experienced this when I was in the midst of grief over my mother and my best friend leaving this planet. I felt like I had no hope for the future. I doubted that anything good would ever arrive in my life again, and I hated not being hopeful. Hopeful is something that I identified with the most in my entire life. If something bad happened in my life, I would cry, then pick myself up and begin again. Hopeful, the good things would fly into my life. But during that grief, wow, I felt like I had no hope whatsoever. So, how did I find my way back to hope? I did two things, and I did them every day. First, I used gratitude. I would find three things to be grateful for each and every day. This was not easy during my grief, but I made myself do it. Sometimes the three things would be simply, I'm alive, I have four healthy kitties, and the sun is shining. But I did this every day. Eventually, my gratitude list expanded, as did my sense of hope. So if you lack in hopefulness, practice gratitude every day, even if it's simply, I am breathing, I am walking, I'm alive. The second way to find your hope is to do what I wrote in my book about how learning to say goodbye taught me how to live. I was helping my best friend move through her breast cancer diagnosis. She hated going to the hospital for checkups and her treatments. So I told her to practice looking for the angel whispers. Angel whispers are how the loving universe lets us know that we're not forgotten and that we're dearly loved. So I made her look, when she went to the hospital, for three angel whispers. My friend Rob shrugged her shoulders and said she would try. My sweet friend did find the angel whispers. Sometimes it would be the radiation technician complimenting her on how good she looked. Or another patient who somebody would tell her not to give up because miracles can happen. Or it could be a nurse who was willing to do the paperwork for her. It didn't matter how many times she went to the hospital, my friend always found love offered to her through these angel whispers. So if you're feeling hopeless, practice these two things. Find three things every day that you can be grateful for, and then look for the angel whispers out in the world. When I was in the depth of despair, the man behind the counter at the 7-Eleven would smile at me, or someone would hold a door for me. All of these small gestures lifted me out of my dark space just for a moment and reminded me that there's more to my world than my pain and my hopelessness. And the final tip to find your lightheartedness is to enjoy your life. You need to follow your excitement. Again, this is something I'm working on every day, and obviously last week I didn't do so well. To follow your excitement is to pick what is the most exciting thing you can do at the moment. For me, it's getting in the pool or taking walks in the hills. You don't need to look outside of your life for the most exciting thing. You need to find the most exciting thing you can do at this moment in your life and follow that. Perhaps it's simply taking a nap. When you follow your excitement will grow, and so will your level of joy. And when you enjoy your life, you are lighthearted, which is why lightheartedness is this month's spiritual homework. So we can all become cheerful, hopeful, and enjoy our lives. I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book, How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live, by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.